Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to week one aftermath and grab ass as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And I mean, it really seemed like the Cleveland Browns were going to win their first week one game since like 1988, which I believe was the Bernie Kosar years there in Cleveland, the drive, Marty Schottenheimer, you name it, all the Webster Slaughter, all the legendary Cleveland
Thanks for
Browns.
Bringing that up, Jonas.
I'm just saying, Brady, it felt like they were going to finally get it done, and then all of a sudden special teams kicked in, and it's reason...
It's reason
number 5,480 why LeVar Arrington hates kickers and punters. So here we go, Brady Quinn. What the hell happened to your Cleveland Browns?
It was just the curse. It was the curse that apparently is on my team. I don't know how else to describe it, LeVar, because I look at this and I'm like, he's actually one of the better punters in the league.
Yeah.
He's got a gigantic leg.
The Scottish hammer, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And they call him a punter on the football field. Yeah. So, like, it's...
Coming in hot.
Well, oh, God.
He is. I'm watching that. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Like, I don't have words for that, because if it was an offensive play or defensive play, maybe I'd be a dork and diagnose it. I watch that happen. I just go, that's bad luck. You know, it's what happens to the Browns. And of course, if you give Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs another chance, every time they play, it's so fun to watch them, because Patrick Mahomes is unorthodox, but the way he gets it done, like the way he, you know, twists his body and throws kind of like awkwardly or off the wrong foot, or put it, it's still right where it needs to be. Tyreek Hill is wide open. I mean, the one ball he threw was drastically underthrown.
And it was a duck.
Yeah.
And then he just comes up there, catches it,
goes to the end zone. It's just, I'm like, well, that's about right. Like, you can't make a mistake versus that team. And even with the punt, they still had a shot in the end. And it came down to pressure. It came down to, I'm not sure really where Baker was throwing that ball. It didn't look like, even when he threw it, I was like, that probably would have been picked anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, LeVar. Is it lack of luck? Is it a curse? What is it in your mind?
It's Cleveland. I'm from Pittsburgh. He's from Ohio.
Don't make a Cleveland steamer, Joe.
You understand.
Do not make a Cleveland steamer, Joe.
Yeah, it's Cleveland. And that's the only thing I could come up with. Let me tell you something. They had to have been the most impressive losing team of week
one. They look damn good,
man. More than Dallas?
Yes, okay.
More than Dallas. They played what was perceivably an almost complete game. Almost complete game, and almost knocked off one of the hottest teams in the National Football League. Like, Dallas was in the game and could have won that game and were impressive. But I'd have to say the balance offensively, defensively, that Cleveland showed, the explosiveness, they're going to be a problem this year, man. They are going to be – it would have took only a Kansas City team, in my estimation, that would have even been able to be close enough to be and let's be clear, it wasn't close for a minute. They was waxing that tail for a few minutes. And then Kansas City, you know, decided to be Kansas City and had some good things happen for them, and they were able to pull it out. But that was as impressive a loss as you could possibly get. And you got to believe that if you're not playing the Super Bowl former champs and Super Bowl appearers, that was probably going to be a win for the Cleveland Browns in week one. So I think there were a lot of positives that they could have taken out of it. But again, if you're looking at it from the other side of it and you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, you're saying to yourself, you know, these dudes know how to win. They know how to win. They know how to push through the adversity. They're on the same page. Like you said, that duck that was up there, that let me tell you something. If the first shot didn't get it, it should have been like shot three or four because it was quacking for so long out there. And yet and still, it makes it to Tariq Hill and you can't catch him. I think some of those plays, it is what it is. But it's that punt to me is definitely was – I hate to say it. It was definitely the reason why they lost that game.
Scottish hammer.
Sorry.
Hey, come on, hey, man.
Let me ask you guys this because they start off week one. I mean, like that game was probably one of the better games we'll see all year because it had a little bit of everything. I just worry because I was thinking in my head, oh, and I think I said it in my notes to y'all, like we'll see these two again. Like we'll see them again back in the playoffs, right? Like I feel confident in saying that right now, but it's week one. Like you and I, we all know after 18 weeks, 17 games, like they got 16 more now.
Yeah.
A lot could change.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying the Browns won't make it, but like Baltimore plays tonight. Pittsburgh beat the Buffalo Bills. Cincinnati beat the Minnesota Vikings. We can get into that because the NFL hosed the Vikings on a particular call. But everyone's undefeated besides the Browns right now down the AFC North. Mm-hmm. And I think Baltimore's going to win tonight. They are the favorite. I look at this thing and I just go, man, we take for granted some of this because we think like, oh, yeah, they'll get a rematch in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure Kansas City's going to be in there. I think Cleveland's going to, but we all know a lot can change over the course of a season. We got 16 more games to go.
By the way,
it's going to be difficult in the AFC North.
Patrick Mahomes, he's 11-0. He's 11-0 in September. He's got 35 touchdowns and zero picks.
Never thrown a pick, man. How about that?
That's unbelievable.
How about that?
It's unbelievable that you could throw a play duck hunter out there and not get your duck shot out of the air in a pro game.
Okay, careful saying that on the air. FCC, just giving you the heads up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you got a space, you got to space those two names out.
I'm sorry, duck. And
Hunt. Okay, yeah, you got to space that out.
That's
my bad. Say the book slowly.
You know, the pit of vipers here.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know that many quarterbacks in the NFL have the confidence, though, to be, you know, being chased out of bounds and literally just kind of fling the football.
Fling it across your body.
Across his body, but fling the football just down in the vicinity of a receiver that you just say, yeah, I know he's going to come back and make a play on the ball. And mind you, Tyreek Hill isn't big. Like, when I had bigger receivers in college, like, I knew they probably weren't going to separate. So my whole goal was if I was scrambled, I need to make a play, I would just throw it up and try to put it away from the defender but give them, like, a chance to go elevate and get it or no one else gets it. In this case, like, it's hard to do that with Tyreek Hill because he's so tiny. Like, you can't put it up where he can just jump up and get it because he's probably not going to out-jump or out-reach another DB. And so he just – it's underthrown. He stops, comes back to it, catches it, and then it's, you know, insult to injury there, him just running in the end zone.
I mean, ran away from the dude.
So this is twice in a row we've seen Cleveland really give them a game. I mean, you can go back to the playoff game last year, and we understand the offensive line issues, and Mahomes wasn't 100%, and then he got, you know, dinged, whatever the hell
that
was.
They're better for that game.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just – you look at that game, and then you watch what happened on Sunday. Why did they play Kansas City so well?
They're a good team.
And I understand they're a good team, but
they match up well? They've got a good defensive front. Their secondary can, I guess, kind of match up. They run the football. They control the game. They can make enough plays in the passing game. Stefanski's good play. I mean, they're a good team. They're one of the better teams in the AFC. I think the interesting thing about the Chiefs is we tend to be like, oh, like their offensive line was banged up. It really wasn't at that point. It was for the Super Bowl, but their center to right tackle, they all had zero starts before yesterday. Like that's the thing to watch the rest of the season is their entire right side from center over on their offensive line just had their first start. All of them, their first career start. I mean, imagine how this is going to potentially go if those guys don't stay healthy, if they don't develop. It's like if that's the group you're rolling with, you're going with youth. You're going with the optimistic view that they're going to be better by the end of the season. There are still times when Patrick Mahomes is out there running for his life. He's that good at maneuvering the pocket and kind of just making guys stop and miss and everything and in between.
And give schematics a lot of credit as well. Give the coaching staff a lot of credit. I mean, they were able to make some adjustments, especially defensively, where they were able to do some things to get some critical moments, you know, to give Patrick Mahomes some opportunities and give that offense some opportunities. I don't know why Cleveland matches up so well with them outside of what Brady just laid out for you. But what I will say is that is one confident team. Like, yeah, they are confident as hell. And that's one of those games that you hate that they had to lose, because I felt like the better team that day, yesterday, did not win the game. And you very rarely can say, wow, the better team did not win the game in this situation. But I really came away from that game after watching it like, man, I can't believe they lost that game. and granted, like, that can draw the, you know, obviously can give you the point of saying, because Kansas City is the better team. And I get all that. That's conventional wisdom. But I honestly came away from that game feeling a little dirty. Like, I do believe I waited, you know, I waited until all the games were done to go shower up. But that one left me feeling a little dirty, bro. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there's a saying, isn't there, Jonas? Good teams win. Great teams do what?
They win. I don't know. What are you telling me?
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Okay.
Which in this case,
oh,
I know the
point.
Browns.
Yeah.
The Browns lost, but they did cover, so that did help out.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, that is a good point. And if you had Browns on the money line, you've just woken up in a pile of vomit, and you're trying to figure out what day it is.
That's just bad betting advice.
Yeah, well, listen,
you should have went with the points, went with the spread. They played him close. You should have known they're going to play him close. It worked out in the end. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. AFC North, punt worked for one AFC North team, punt worked against one AFC.
Yes.
And both were big games.
And there's a chance that if Baltimore gets it done tonight, that the Browns are going to find themselves in last place in the AFC North.
And I wonder if a punt will have something to do with the game's outcome tonight.
Well, who knows? Maybe that'll be a part of the prop bet monster. I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know. Maybe that'll be a part of the prop bet monster.
So we play that for just Monday Night Football, too.
Monday and Thursday nights.
Wow.
the primetime game, so everybody can play along.
We will sprinkle that in
throughout the course of the show.
It's a monster,
here.
Man. It really is.
It definitely is.
Did we ever get the results of the prop bet monster?
You tied last week.
It's also
you
good with bets,
tie.
Too.
Yeah,
know?
It is. It absolutely is. Oh, we are off the ground.
I'll figure out what Brady did.
Well, yeah, why not? You know, never too early for a crank joke in the Quinn house.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to get a member of the Big Noon Kickoff crew really pissed off, we just happen to have one on this show, and he is outraged by something we saw in the NFL. So stand back. There will be an explosion in a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. So that'll be a lot of fun.
And there will be some good radio.
Yes, that as well, too.
I'm just going to keep the theme alive.
May as well. All right. So, you know, I might have come on the air last week and said that, you know, the Green Bay Packers are going to butcher the New Orleans Saints lay waste to and, you know, listen, if not anything, I'm accountable for my actions, and I would like to apologize. I got that one wrong because the New Orleans Saints whooped that ass. That was not even close. And they could try and say, well, you know, it's because we picked the location, but it was majority Packer fans that were there. But, my God, LeVar, you've been bullish on the New Orleans Saints I don't want to speak for Brady, but I myself have said, nope, I'm not buying it. And New Orleans looked damn good yesterday against
Green Bay. I'm still not buying it, but they whooped them up. There was no doubt about it. I was wrong on that one, too. And I will disagree with this. I actually saw a fair amount of Saints fans there. I was surprised you said that because one of my buddies in the neighborhood was working up there, and he said they traveled well. So they had a good presence of Saints fans, which they've got a good fan base. So I was glad to see that was the case.
Nice.
Yeah.
Listen, I have them winning the division. And if that's bullish, that's bullish. I think that if you just break down what they've been able to accomplish – they have been the most consistently successful team throughout the NFC, especially the NFC South. So to me, when you look at it, sure, you can look at Tampa Bay and say it's going to be Tampa, but I still think that there's one team that schemes them well, that's confident in playing against them, and that's the New Orleans Saints. And that played out last year, both times that they played. So – listen, They surprised me in the sense that they were as dominant as they were, but it didn't surprise me that they were as successful as they were in that game.
Yeah, well, there was a
– So, yeah. This game, again, and I think there's a lot of this in week one, but Rodgers looked bad. The offense looked bad. It looked like he took the entire season off, offseason off. Like, he looked like a quarterback that hadn't really gotten to a rhythm at all.
It was and, kicking a hacky sack in Hawaii, you know.
That's your words, not mine. Yeah. But he looked
off. Now I love doing hacky sack time.
That's all right.
Really?
Yeah man. At lunchtime.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah. With the rest of the potheads.
You know what was cool? You actually were able to be an icebreaker. Like, this is a horrible admission. So one of my icebreakers in college, my freshman year, I had two. One was rollerblading, so you got this big, tall, black dude rollerblading, right? That was an icebreaker at a school like Penn State. Like black people rollerblading? Like, yeah. Hi, I'm LeVar. Right? Icebreaker.
They call me Sticks.
Let me take these off and put my shoes back on.
I didn't say it. That's LeVar.
Right? So, yeah, that's true. We can say it. Y'all can't. So, here's the thing, right? So, and then the other one was hacky sacking in the hub,
wow.
Like in the center of campus.
Look at you.
Where they used to go get food and stuff like that. You like have a hacky sack, you start like you throw it up and see if somebody start kicking it with you. Next thing you know, you got like three or four people.
Yeah.
Or you go to the lawn of Old Main and you start hacky sacking with people. I'm telling you, it's the coolest thing because people like start like hacky sacking with you.
It's a great party starter,
bro. It's an icebreaker.
Now I don't know if Rodgers actually did that in Hawaii.
Well, he didn't practice football.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. It looked like he was.
We don't know what he did do, but we do know he didn't practice football.
Now the Rodgers portion of the conversation, I do think is worth a deep dive. But to end the hour here. Brady Quinn found this, and I thought it was maybe the most honest. This is the most honest post-game conversation I think I've ever heard from an NFL quarterback. And that quarterback was Jameis Winston. He is fresh off LASIK or whatever they call
Jameis.
That eye surgery.
Jameis could do this.
Yeah, so Jameis was having his post-game interview, and he gave the reason for his success.
How did the defense and the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
God, I love that kid.
Just play it, man. Just play it again. Please play it again, because I want to listen to the moment when he realized, yeah, I don't have it.
Let's play it again. And I'm not even going to try.
How did the defense and the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Told us to be prepared.
Oh, it's so
good.
Oh,
boy.
Listen, we've all been
at
there.
At least he didn't say to eat the W's or whatever. At least he didn't say nothing. Yeah. At least he didn't. This is the new Jameis. See, the old Jameis would have forced it.
Yeah, would have licked his hands.
There would have been a turnover on that interview soundbite, right?
Yeah.
That's a great way of
putting
it.
But instead, he protected himself.
Yes, that's good.
And he pulled the ball down. He checked down. He threw it away or he slid.
That's
got
good.
Down. Lived the
and
fight
he comes
another day.
Off, he comes off so much more likable and lovable. And you got to feel good about how he played, distributed the football. He wasn't asked to do much, but he delivered every time he was. So I'm happy for him, man. I really am. I hope this is something to be good the rest of this season. It's going to be him taking this team maybe to the playoffs.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. A pissed off Brady Quinn is yours next on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Byer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it was fun having a bunch of games yesterday, just kind of, you know, surfing around, watching stuff, whether it was Red Zone or the game mix or whatever. You know, just fun action, good games, all the way even into the late window. But you did have an overtime game, and one team that, you know, basically got screwed. There was a call on the field that was ruled a fumble. The Minnesota Vikings, who did not play well for a majority of that game, but they found themselves in overtime after coming back. And there was a fumble on the field. Dalvin Cook, it looked like he was down. It looked down to me, but they ruled it. It was a fumble. Cincinnati gets the ball back, and Cincinnati wins the game in overtime with the gun going off, no time remaining, and Minnesota is now staring 0-1 in the NFC North, but they were joined by every other team in the NFC North. But Mike Zimmer, the head coach, talked afterwards about this fumble yesterday in Cincy.
Very disappointing. Then we got a chance to rally and come back and win the game. We fumbled the ball, and you know, we give up that fourth and inches throw. So got a lot of work to do. We don't still got a long way to go. Credit to them. They played better than we did today.
Something tells me when Mike Zimmer looks back at that one, he's going to be even more pissed off Brady Quinn. I don't know if he's going to be as pissed off as you, though.
I'm pissed off about it for this reason. The line in this game was 3 points. And if
degenerate.
No, but, you know, so anyone who bet the Vikings went from probably pushing that bet to losing that bet on that one call. And what upsets me about this is, you know, there's been a lot of change in the NFL replay officiating. Perry Fuel's now a part of this, along with Walt Anderson. It was Al Riveron before that. So they made a change up top to how this process is going to go, and they've changed also how they're essentially having the officials officiate these plays. If they don't know, they're telling them to rule it a fumble, let the play out. Reason being is this: when there's a change of possession, they now then get it automatically causes a replay. So it brings replay into the situation. But the problem with that is the call on the field now, it still stands and it has to be conclusive based on the camera angles and everything that they have in order to overturn it. So there's a burden that they need to meet in order to overturn it. And it's the dumbest thing that the NFL does, because instead of just saying, okay, this was the call on the field, but really we're not sure, so we're sending it up to replay to re-officiate the play, which is what they should do, they now have a standard or a burden they have to meet in order to overturn the play. It is the dumbest thing in the history of the world, where we all, I think the majority of people who looked at that play go, yeah, he was probably down. When his butt hit the ground, the ball wasn't out. It looked like it came out afterwards. And so not only does it change the outcome of games, it changed the outcome of a lot of bets for a lot of people out there. But to me, it bothers me more because the NFL is moving in this direction of incorporating more sports betting into the game. And yet they can't figure out replay.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. Just re-officiate the play. Who cares what it was on the field? Like, these guys, they're looking at each other. I don't know. I just say it's a fumble. Yeah, they got it. Let's throw it up the replay. Like, they'll gladly give up that power and control and turn it over to you. It's the dumbest thing in the world to me that we haven't figured out. And this is a multi-billion dollar business, and yet they can't figure out the replay aspect of it to maintain the integrity of the game. So, look, did the Vikings play well? No. And the Bengals, especially in that fourth of inches, a gutsy call to throw the way they did. You might want to, you know, look at a couple of the other gutsy calls that you know, up 21-7 going for fourth and one on
yeah,
your own
yeah,
30.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
That was pretty gutsy by Zach Taylor. That didn't turn out too well for him. But the reality is that singular play would have had the Vikings, okay, it would have been second down on the Cincinnati 38 and Greg Joseph hit a bomb to put it into overtime, you can't tell me that essentially took away their chance of winning that football game and at least winning the game and then being able to cover for all those out there who had the Vikings minus three.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I sort of gave up when the NFL, after the NFC title game and that blown call between the Rams and Saints, they said, all right, well, you know, we're going to make pass interference reviewable. And then it just got to the point to where it felt like officials didn't want to be corrected, almost like it was a knock to them, like they were being embarrassed if they got a call wrong. So they didn't want to be corrected. And you just saw, as the season went on, coaches just gave up trying to challenge pass interferences because they couldn't get calls overturned that seemed pretty obvious. And I don't know why they do it this way where they don't re-officiate it, but is this just so they can, like, kind of have each other's back? Like, I can't figure it out.
The best of my knowledge is they want to ensure that the officials on the field still are empowered.
Yes.
And they don't want to go to replay for everything, which you can't go to replay for everything. Case in point, that rule you talked about, they got rid of.
Yes.
You can't even throw a challenge flag to review a play, which is still a bit absurd. Like, you can't just have one where you say, yeah, I want you to re-officiate. For example, last night's Sunday Night Football game, there was a slant pass where David Long, I think it was Allen Robinson, he hit him almost a second before the ball got there.
Yeah.
It was clear and obvious pass interference, and yet now, because the rule's not there anymore, you can't challenge it. And it would have taken away, you know, momentum, taken away a first down and 15 in that case. It's just the NFL, for whatever reason, wants to nickel and dime and not spend money. I don't know if it's bringing back Dean Blandino or Mike Pereira, but they can't figure it out. And honestly, they could. They just don't want to spend the money. They don't care about it that much. And maybe they're okay with us making it controversial.
There you go.
And allowing people to lose money on these bets.
That's what I think. I think it just adds to the drama,
to the conversation,
of the most organic storyline of a reality television show. It's reality TV. You don't know which way it's going to go. The script is not written. And so when you have interesting, it's like Running Man. You have interesting additions to complicate what the situation may or may not be, and it keeps you more entertained. If you just had a cleanly reffed game, a cleanly ran game, I almost feel like the powers that be that have created this behemoth, you know, they look at it as that's just too clean. You got to add elements that play out in a way where you just can't expect it or predict it, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Maybe they love this conversation. The fact that, you know, it's a day later, we're having these discussions and all that. To me, if it's that obvious, what the hell's the problem? We have the technology. What the hell's the issue? It's like, I've never understood, you know, why is there not a shot over the goal line, like overhead, like figure out some way.
You want to know another element of all of this as well that should be stated. And I hate to do this, but I am. They're some of the most arrogant, the rule makers, they are some of the most arrogant people.
Oh, they're in control.
That you will ever experience.
100%, like, they're in control.
If you ever get the opportunity to deal with a referee, you'll understand very quickly. Referees are some of the most arrogant dudes you will ever deal with. Like, a lot of them, and some I know some of them. Like, one of my alums is Terry Killens is a ref, so I apologize to
you. Do you ever want to headbutt one of them when they were running their mouth?
I never
to you?
Wanted to hit, but I never
just
want
just put Excalibur right
their mouth.
Just put what? Excalibur on the bridge of their
I
nose.
I mean, I never wanted to hurt a referee, but I do be looking at them like, where did you come from? Like,
just one headbutt.
They look like aliens to me.
Just right on the bridge of his nose. Just let him know his boss.
But
you know,
as a backer, what you can do every once in a while is, because referees are a part of the field, you can wipe them out. I have wiped out referees before. And they might have not even known. They might have not even known.
Intentionally?
Oh, heck yeah. Wipe out.
Good for you.
All right, but don't tell anybody
No, we won't. Yeah, right. Nobody's listening. Don't worry about it.
Don't tell nobody that.
That
ref got in the way. Yeah, he did.
Look, Dean Blandino and Mike Pereira, those guys saw the writing on the wall years ago, and they got out of it.
They're brilliant.
Dean Blandino was like, I'm getting the hell out of here. He took over for Mike Pereira. career, and he's like, "Hey, Mike, I'm gonna do what you do. I'm gonna go to the same network as you. I want the hell out of this." And all those, look, you saw a couple of years ago. I think it's of the 18 officials, it was like 17 or 18 officials, I guess, is their title in the NFL. Four of them retired or moved to TV in one offseason. And it's like, when you see that much turnover, they, I think, too, realize, look, man, this is not the job for us anymore. And the way that it's being done now, and now you've got Al Riveron who stepped aside, Brady, I would want no part of this gig. I'm out. I'm not interested.
Look, you could get it right. You just got to pay for it. You just got to pay for it. You can't be cheap. Whether it's bringing Dean or Mike back and then and writing them a check that they can't refuse. Like, that's the only way this thing is going to work. And actually listening to them and say, okay, let's come up with a realistic plan to be able to utilize the technology we have, the camera angles we have to implement replay so we get it right. But that's the truth of the matter is I don't know that there's enough of a push, to be quite honest with you, from coaches on the competition committee to really get it right, or the NFL for that matter. Like, I really don't know that they care enough. I mean, think about it. A lot of the coaches are old enough, and I know there's a lot of younger ones now that are coming up, but they're like, yeah, that's how it's always been. You know, like, we don't, you know, we're used to the calls in the field. We're not going to let that, you know, dictate how we feel about the game. I mean, you heard Mike Zimmer. Even when he looks back and says, well, that wasn't a fumble, he's still going to look at his team and go, you guys didn't play well enough to win anyway.
And he hates Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, there's that, too. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know what he hates Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but it sounds better on better on radio, you know, when you say that. You know,
so funny.
Hot take. I'm just saying, he hates Kirk Cousins.
It's real out here for a Cousins, man.
Yeah, I hear you, my man.
You got to be safe out here when you're Kirk Cousins, bro.
Hey, by the way, on this particular game, I know not to get off topic, but Jamar Chase didn't drop the football. He looked good in the regular season.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you guys are criticizing him so much in the preseason.
North.
And I don't know. Like, that was you guys making the jokes, not me. Definitely not me making the jokes about Jamar Chase and that giraffe named after Joe Burrow that died on Friday.
They're tough in the North.
It was you guys making that joke, not me. I didn't make that joke.
But they reel on the West.
Yeah, they are.
I honestly forgot you made that joke until right now.
Yeah, I think it was you guys that made it, not me.
I completely forgot about the whole draft thing until you just brought it up.
Yeah, of course.
No, he's always doing that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
natural hater. You know, yeah, what I mean, it's real out here.
Jonas is a type that loves to bring to life his shortcomings. So, like, he's the exact opposite of, like, most people out there who, like,
especially
hate
in radio.
To be wrong.
Yeah, especially in radio.
Well, especially in radio. Especially in radio.
Yeah.
But, like, Jonas is ahead of the curve. Like, we're going to go through this renaissance of people being like they want to be wrong. Like, they'll make ridiculous claims just so they can come back after the fact and be like, no, I was wrong. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
If it makes the show better, that's all I care about.
But it's real out here, Jones.
I hear you, my man.
Hey,
I hear you.
I understand why you think you always wrong, my man. You know what I mean?
These streets are rough,
these streets is rough.
I know where you're going.
The streets are rough.
Brady, I'm going to get him to say it on the air. I'm
going
to get him to say it on the air.
Your end is your sin, man. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, bro.
I hear you.
You got to be safe out here, man.
I hear you, my man.
Stay warm out here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. Kind of a nice little performance for somebody, a debut performance in the NFL yesterday. You guys, you tied in the debut edition of the Prop Bet Monster. You guys finished with two correct picks for Thursday Night Football. Ooh, so you did finish tied.
That's not very good.
Yeah, well, but
were there five or four?
Yeah, there were five of them, but some of them actually didn't end up developing because these are all made up. And so some
right.
of them are ridiculous.
Well, I've got a new strategy, by the way,
okay.
moving forward.
All right.
Yeah, I've got a new strategy. I'm not gonna say what it is. I think LeVar is going to hear it when this happens, but I'm just telling you right now, LeVar, I've got a new strategy because I thought about this over the weekend. I think I know how to win this prop bet monster. Okay. I think I know.
Fair enough. Well, without further ado,
let's see what we got.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul, the prop bet monster.
And away we go, and we take a closer look at Monday Night Football. It is the Ravens at the Raiders, where it's LeVar Arrington versus Brady Quinn. It's LB versus QB, and your host is a DB. And here we go, guys. Let's take a look. The first bet for the Ravens-Raiders tonight here in the Prop Bet Monster is this. The Las Vegas performer shown first during the game. Here are your options. Is it Carrot Top, Celine Dion, the Blue Man Group, or the fake Elvis? Where are we going, LeVar?
Oh, that's horrible, man.
Come on, where are we going,
LeVar? Come on,
LeVar. Make a pick.
What do you got? I know where I'm going.
Fake Elvis.
All right,
No, you took it from me. No!
Sorry.
Dang it!
Brady and Carrot Top are friends. That's a story for another time.
I'm going with my man Carrot Top.
Yes. That's a strong fellow.
Yes.
Hopefully, if he's listening, he'll be out there.
Yeah.
He'll be representing Raider Nation. I'm hoping it's Carrot Top.
Yes.
I have a funny feeling that it'll be Celine Dion.
Yeah, it might be.
Would he still be Carrot Top if he got a baldy?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, right? That's a great question. I was just wondering.
Yeah, when you lose that hair, it's over. All right, next up, who complains about a call first, John Harbaugh or John Gruden?
Oh, that's a good one. You go first. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Gruden because I feel like, I don't know, he's at home. There's probably going to be some more. They throw the football more. Probably some PI defensive holding or something that's going to happen. I'm going to say Gruden.
I'm going with Harbaugh.
All right, there you go.
I'm going with Harbaugh because he can't afford to get anyone else hurt. So the moment somebody gets touched the wrong way, Harbaugh is going to lose it.
All right, next up here on the Prop Bet Monster here on Outkick the Coverage, who leads the Ravens in rushing? Here are your options. Is it Lamar Jackson, Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray, or Priest Holmes?
I'm going with Priest Holmes.
Very good. Nice pick. There it is. All right. Hey, Brady.
He knows the strategy.
Hey, Brady.
He knows the strategy.
Very good.
Dang it.
Very good. Okay, Brady, what are we going with?
I mean, that's the problem is I can't agree even though
it's got to be Lamar Jackson, right? It has to be. What do they got?
Yeah, but I would love for it to be Le'Veon Bell. I think for the storyline, I'd like for it to be Le'Veon. So I'm not going to go with Lamar. I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
I hope it's Le'Veon Bell for his sake.
All right. Famous Raiders fan who curses in a tweet during the game first. Is it Roberto, our technical producer?
Well.
Danny G, our executive producer. Guy Fieri or Tiger Woods?
I'm going Tiger. Go.
Come on. Is Tiger a Raiders fan?
Yeah, he's a Raider fan. Yeah, it's legit.
I never knew that.
You got it, Brady.
He's a fan of a lot of things.
Who was the third option?
Guy Fieri.
I'm sorry, it keeps cutting out. What are you saying?
It's Fieri, Brady. Fieri. For Christ's sake. Like it's the Nitzarene. Jesus.
He set you
up.
Yeah. Roberto.
LeVar, who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going with Danny
Roberto.
G.
All right, there it is. All right, so Danny G to curse in a tweet first. And then, Brady, you're going to go with Roberto?
Roberto, yeah.
He's like a minus 2,000 favorite to win that one.
I mean, we have two Raider fans.
Yes.
In the control room.
It's disgusting. I know. Listen, tell me about it.
I didn't know Guy, though, was a Raiders fan.
He is.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah, he actually will go to the Raiders camp and prepare a feast for the team once per year. Oh,
now, wow. How would he pronounce his own name? That's what I want to know.
He would say, kiss my ass.
Oh.
All right, we have one
that's
more
how
here.
He would say it?
Yeah, that's what he would say.
Right.
We have one more here. All right, so this is kind of complicated, so pay attention. As they go to or come back from the first commercial, which casino on the strip do they show first? Is it MGM, Luxor,
Easy.
Caesar's Palace, or the Bellagio?
Good, you got it, Brady.
Caesar's.
All right.
That's MGM.
You're going to go MGM?
They're going for
and,
a fact.
And by the way, Jonas wants us to say Luxor. That's going to be the way.
I don't want you to say Luxor. I thought you would have said Bellagio for the fountains.
They're either going to show the fountains or they're going to show the green building.
All right, so there it is.
So it's going to be MGM.
That is this week's edition of the Prop Bet Monster.